It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Coming to you from the heart of Silicon Valley,
this is CUDA Confidential,
the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. Now, here's your host, Nick Nolenberger.
Charcuterie. Yes, that's what I said, charcuterie. What a crazy week. The San Jose Sharks blending with the San Jose Barracuda. Seven players on COVID protocol, along with head coach Bob Bugner. And as the Sharks come on the ice, Brett Hedekin, somehow they have found a way to win two big games this past week against both.
What an incredible week and a half for both the Sharks and for the Barracuda. Recalls from the ECHL to the AHL. Recalls from the AHL to the NHL. NHL debuts. Unprecedented player movement. In fact, since the Barracuda were forced to postpone their game against the Stockton Heat on Halloween night, they recalled six players from the ECHL's Orlando Solar Bears. They then signed four players to professional tryout agreements from the ECHL just so they could field a team for Wednesday's game against the Heat. Hello, Barracuda fans, and welcome to another edition of CUDA Confidential. I'm Nick Nolenberger. What a week it was. To make Wednesday's challenge even more daunting, the Stockton Heat entered the first meeting against the Barracuda in over 600 days, riding a four-game winning streak after dropping their opener in overtime. Around 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday, the Barracuda made it official. They recalled forward Joe Gareffa from the Orlando Solar Bears and signed defenseman Connor McDonald to a professional tryout agreement from the Utah Grizzlies. Both players arrived around 2:30 in the afternoon, got a bite to eat, took a quick nap, and were at the rink ready to play Wednesday's game. Gareffa is a forward by trade, but he did play some defense during his junior career in the Ontario Hockey League. And because the Barracuda were so shorthanded on the back end, Gareffa was forced to play back on the blue line. Here was Gareffa on arriving to the rink on Wednesday and finding out that he was going to play defense.
Yeah, and also the night before, around like 9 o'clock, coach from Orlando called me and I said, hey, you're going up. So I have to quickly, get my gear from the rink and then, do all my laundry kind of thing and just pack my bags. And, flight was at 8:30 and all that, so got to the airport pretty early. And then, had two flights and got in around 2 p.m. So it wasn't too bad. Had time to get a quick bite and then, quick nap. And, once I got to the rink, found I was playing D, and honestly, I was pretty excited. I played a lot of D in juniors, and I enjoyed playing D. So, I was excited for that and for that opportunity, and I felt pretty good in the game, so I was happy about that.
Before Wednesday's game, defenseman Connor McDonald had played a handful of games in the AHL with the Cleveland Monsters. But here was the Bowling Green product on everything that transpired on Wednesday.
We played Friday, so I had practice Friday morning. Got a text after I got off the ice about 11:30 saying I needed to be on a flight at 1:50. So it was a quick little turnaround. Had to go home for about an hour, pack, have some breakfast, then jump on a flight and show up and play, I guess.
Almost immediately in Wednesday's game, the Barracuda were behind the eight ball. Adam Rzeczka would light the lamp for his fifth of the year just 4 minutes and 4 seconds into the first period.
Taken away by Stockton. Here's a chance for the Heat. Backhander, the score. Adam Rzeczka takes advantage of a fortuitous bounce.
Then less than 2 minutes later, exactly 1 minute and 50 seconds after Rzeczka's goal, Luke Philp would tap in a back post pass from Glenn Godden to give the Heat a 2-0 lead.
Here comes Godden looking for the back post and they score. Stockton takes a 2-0 lead. It's going to be Luke Philp who cashes in on the back post. Time of the goal at the 5:54 mark.
At 11:13, it was again Rzeczka with his sixth of the season and his fifth over his last two games to give Stockton a 3-0 lead in the first period.
There's a shot tipped through, they score. Rzeczka's got his second of the game. That's five goals now in his last two outings. And the Heat have a power play goal. It is 3-0 Stockton.
Up 3-0, Stockton would continue to pour it on. At 8:12 of the second, Martin Pospisil would make it 4-0 Heat. Gilroy native Dustin Wolf was perfect in the nets for the Heat until 17:57 of the second period, as Scott Reedy jammed home a shot from close range for his team-leading third of the year.
2:05 remaining in the second period. Here's a chance. Scott Reedy scores. Reedy able to just jam it past Dustin Wolf. It's something out of nothing. Reedy's on the board.
In the final period, the offense would dry up on both sides, and the Stockton Heat would roll to their fifth straight win behind 23 stops from Dustin Wolf. Wolf idolized the Sharks as a kid and idolized goaltender Evgeny Dabakov, who inspired him to play the position. The Flames selected Wolf in the seventh round of the 2019 NHL entry draft. So after Wednesday's 4-1 loss to the Heat, the Barracuda would shift their attention to Saturday afternoon and the Texas Stars. Sandwiched in between Wednesday and Saturday, though, were some much-needed practices. The Barracuda continued to shuffle their roster, including the signing of former Barracuda defenseman Patrick McNally to a professional tryout agreement. The team also recalled forward Christopher Beek from the Solar Bears. After passing his second straight COVID-19 test, forward Noah Gregor was granted to return back to the lineup on Saturday afternoon for the Barracuda. At 12:30 of the first period, he would make his presence felt, lighting the lamp for his third of the year.
Joachim Blichfeldt into the offensive zone for Gregor, off the post, he scores!
But the Texas Stars would answer back. On the power play, Andreas Borgman from the midpoint would tie the game up at 14:50.
The entire team was held off the score sheet in the opener. Here's a hard shot from the point, and Texas has drawn even. It's a power play goal. A blast from the point, had eyes.
Then, late in the first, at 18:57, Oscar Bock will give the Stars their first lead.
He takes a check. That probably should have been an interference penalty. Here's a chance for the Stars. They score. Noah Gregor took a hard body check from Camano.
At 3:28 of the second, Josh Melnick would make it 3-1 Texas.
Mark Alt, who played it to Parcells, but here's a chance for the Stars on a turnover, a 2-on-1, and Texas strikes. It's 3-1.
But the Barracuda would continue to push back, and at 6:15, Jaden Holmgewax on the man advantage would make it 3-2 Texas.
Shot is blocked by Barteau. Recovered Barracuda. Shot scored. Holmgewax, top shelf. It's a power play strike, and the Barracuda are within one.
But at 15:52, Frederick Karlstrom of the Stars would light the lamp for his second of the year to push Texas's lead back up to 2. But veteran defenseman Mark Alt would swing a puck in on net at 18:51 that would beat Jake Ottinger to cut the lead back down to 1.
As there's a wrister shot, scored! Mark Alt swings one towards the net, and the Barracuda are back within 1.
Unfortunately, at 19:18, Riley Tufte would push it back up to a 2-goal lead for the Stars. Going into the third period, head coach Roy Sommer elected to pull starting netminder Alexei Melnichuk and replace him with rookie goalie Zach Amon. For Amon, it marked his first AHL action. Amon would allow 2 goals on 12 shots in the final period of play, as the Texas Stars would get goals from Alex Petrovic and Curtis McKenzie to pick up the 7-3 win. Entering Sunday, the Barracuda had dropped their last 3 straight, going 0-2-1 during their 4-game homestand. But they looked to wrap up their homestand in winning fashion, and they would get a boost to their lineup, as Joel Shelman and Artemi Kanyazov were both reassigned back to the American Hockey League on Sunday morning. Sommer would also elect to go with young 21-year-old Zach Amon in the nets for the Barracuda, his first American Hockey League start. Amon had gone 2-1 in 3 games played with the Solar Bears. Like Saturday, the Barracuda would get off to a quick start. In fact, they would score the quickest goal of the 2021-22 season so far, as Jake McGrew tipped in a Christopher Beek shot at 1:43 to give the Barracuda an opening period lead.
And Ryan Shea, who did not play yesterday, back into the lineup here today. Here's a chance for Beek! He scores! Christopher Beek!
But Oscar Bach again would find a way to tie it up at 4:24. But at 5:33, during a delay of game penalty, Dylan Hamelick was able to clean up a Evan Weinger shot off the right pad of Ottinger for his first AHL goal.
Barracuda back into the O-zone. Weinger tripped up, big rebound, they score! Dylan Hamelick, his first in the American Hockey League, and the Barracuda take a 2-1 lead.
At 8:42, though, Joel Esperance would tie it up for the Stars at 2-2. And at 10:50, Curtis McKenzie would give Texas its first lead. But the Barracuda would show resolve. Less than 2 minutes later, Sasha Chmielewski on the power play would score his first of the year in highlight reel fashion.
Left for Chmielewski. He'll lug the mail through center. Takes a peek behind him. Carries it into the O-zone. Splits to the fence. Works it. He scores! Oh my! What a goal! Chmielewski has his first of the year, and they do not get much prettier than that.
At 5:44 of the second period, though, Riley Tufte would score his fifth of the year to give Texas back their lead. So going into the third, down by a goal, the Barracuda would begin the final frame on the power play. And while on the man advantage, Joachim Blichfeldt dry penalty for cross-checking against Andreas Borgman. And Blichfeldt, still searching for his first goal of the year, would make the Stars pay as he'd bring one off the crossbar and in to tie the game up.
Chmielewski, Holm Gawox, Blichfeldt, Wade scores! It's a power play goal for Blichfeldt, who looks skyward in relief. He's got his first of the year, and we are tied at 4-4.
The time of the goal at 1:16. Then at 5:38, Jake McGrew would light the lamp again, marking his first two-goal game of his AHL career.
Loses the puck. Turnover forced, though, by McGrew. Works to the right side. Shot! He scores! Jake McGrew and the Barracuda have a 5-4 lead!
But again, Oscar Bach would find a way to propel the Stars back to level with his second of the game and fourth of the year. So all tied up late in the third period, the Barracuda will go back onto the power play. Their eighth of the game. And Joel Schellman, who drew back into the lineup after getting reassigned from the Sharks in the morning, would become the hero at 17:46 as Noah Gregor found him uncovered on the back post.
Who awaits its arrival? Schellman far side, down low for Gregor. Settles the puck down, back door! They score! PPG of the night.
Evan Weinger would seal the victory with an empty netter. The Barracuda would finish with a season-high 7 goals, a season-high 3 power play goals, and Noah Gregor would pick up his first 3-point effort of his AHL career. With the victory, the Barracuda moved back to 500. Here was head coach Roy Sommer on his team finding a way to get the job done.
All four lines contributed. I thought we were better in our own end as far as coming out. We didn't spend as much time in there. So it all kind of, you know, fell together, and we just kind of stuck with it and scored 7 goals.
The Barracuda are back in action this upcoming Friday against the Abbotsford Canucks at the Abbotsford Event Center. It marks the first matchup in franchise history against the Canucks affiliate, who joined the AHL's Pacific Division this past offseason. It also marks the first of two on the weekend and the first game on the 8-game season series. When we come back, we'll talk to Barracuda marketing manager Kendra Hodgson.
Now, back to the action. Barracuda hockey continues now.
We are very, very pleased to be joined by one of the newest members of the staff. We continue to grow out the staff as we prep for next season, the team moving into its own facility. But Kendra Hodgson is our latest guest on CUDA Confidential. Very kind of her to join us. We're really excited, not only for her to join the staff and the team, but also for us to have her on and have her tell her story a little bit. She is the manager of marketing and digital media for the team. Kendra, first of all, I'm sure your head is spinning, but how are things going now that you've been with the team officially in the facility now for a couple of weeks? I think 3 weeks or so is how long you've been, but how are things going?
Oh, it's going good. I'm just coming in and meeting everyone, and everyone's been so kind. Even the players, we've already gotten to do some really fun creative with them. So yeah, it's been good so far. It is the beginning of week three. So trying to get everything set up for everyone and get ready for next year too. So that's the fun part of this position right now.
We know how it all goes. When you go to a new job, it feels like the first 2 weeks at minimum, maybe even the first month, you're just trying to figure out how to get into your email, how to send people messages, how to find out who does what people's names are. I mean, it feels like there's 100 people that work for the team, especially when you've got two pro teams under the same building. But I'm sure things are starting to slow down. Faces are starting to become recognizable. But there's a lot that goes into moving into a new position in a new role with a new team, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And now I'm definitely starting to get to know names and faces, just like you said. I'm not getting lost in the staff as much. Still every now and then, but yeah, you're right. It's definitely like a settling in moment. I feel better today probably than I have the days before, and it's only going to be up from here.
Well, I wanted to bring you on because not only do I want to kind of introduce you to fans, but I also want you to be able to tell your story a little bit so fans know who you are and what you're all about, because you are going to be working almost side by side with many of our fans as we continue to move forward. And you're going to be the one pushing out information and exciting information, right? Marketing is fun because there's a lot of cool stuff that sports teams can do. So rewinding quickly back to your last position, you've been locally in the Bay Area for the last, I guess, year and a half or so, maybe a little bit longer, a little bit less, but I know COVID has played a big factor, but this is your first real sports job. I know you came from Kansas State where you were working a little bit in the sports department, but tell us about what you were doing prior and why you were intrigued to cross the line, if you will, and now start working in the sports realm.
Yeah, of course. So I always grew up in kind of like a food and beverage environment event, if you will. And I always kind of loved all of the excitement and just craziness of it all. I know it's not for everybody, but for some reason, I was always really intrigued by that. And after college, I had gone into my job with Sodexo at K-State in athletics. And it was just like that. It was everything I was doing in my internships in college. In college, I was working with Charleston Wine and Food Festival, Charleston Fashion Week, doing like Rum Fest. And then once I got into that athletics part of events, I immediately fell in love with it. Now, I will say it took me a little bit longer to figure out it was the sports part of it that I was in love with, because I was in food for so long. And after sports was taken away, because I got a promotion a year into the position to come out to the Bay Area and still work with Sodexo, but do our corporate accounts. We had 30 accounts in the Northern Bay Area. I realized, okay, it's not Sodexo that I like. It was athletics. That's what I miss. That's the fun. I found out like the Monday 9 to 5, it wasn't my jam. Like I wanted more. I wanted to interact with fans. I wanted to interact with crowds. I'm just a people person in that sense. I started working when I was 14 years old. And so you can almost say it's a part of my personality. It's just, I grew up like that, working with people. So when I saw this job come along, I knew I wanted to apply for it. And I definitely had to put myself out there and say, look, I know my background is this part with sports, but I want to be in the actual sports. I want to be down there. I want to be in the nitty gritty. I want to be with all the action. And luckily I've been given this opportunity and I'm super excited. So I'm happy to be here. And like you said, the pandemic put me on halt for a little bit, as much as everyone else. So I had a different position for a little bit. I was working in restoration. Maybe that will come in handy here and there. Whenever we have some kind of emergency, I can probably hook them up with the right people.
Hey, it's funny how it works. It doesn't matter where you work. Even I can revert back to when I was like 16, I was working at a Whole Foods. There's funny things that you pick up. It doesn't really matter what you do that you can translate to what you do now. I think it's just life skills and things that that you acquire can be applicable to other things. I want to ask, were you a big sports fan as a kid, or did you play some sports as well? What drew you to athletics?
I did play sports as a kid. I am naturally a little clumsy, so I don't think anyone thought I would be athletic, and my parents were kind of shy to put me in sports for that reason. And while I was pretty clumsy in the sports that I did do, I think they definitely helped me become at least a little less clumsy over the years. I did cross country, so I'm a runner. I did that all through high school until I like blew out a hip my senior year. When I was team captain, I was absolutely devastated. I can still run sometimes. I can run like a couple miles, but that was my go-to. And then I was on a travel dance team. I was a cheerleader. I played tennis. But I tried about every sport in the book. I tried soccer. I tried softball. But those were the sports that kind of stuck with me.
Tell me, I know you were living in the San Jose area, I believe Campbell. So you obviously were familiar with what the Sharks were all about and the Barracuda. But had you ever thought about working in hockey? Were you a fan of hockey? Like, where did the hockey thing, or was it kind of osmosis, a natural progression being that you were in the city and you were aware of the team?
So I actually did grow up loving the Caps. I hope I don't get booed and jeered for saying that right now, seeing as we're playing them very soon, but or the Sharks.
As long as
playing.
It wasn't the Penguins, when we think about Eastern Conference teams, there's still a sour taste in the mouth of Sharks fans after that Stanley Cup final, probably five, 6 years ago. But Caps are okay. Caps are okay.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we hate the Penguins also. I'm from Maryland, so that's where, I don't even know if I said that. I'm from Maryland. That's why I was a Caps fan. And then oddly enough, when I was in college at College of Charleston in South Carolina, I used to love going to the Stingray games, which is the ECHL team that's there. And we just took on Sam, who maybe you interview in the future. And she comes from the Stingrays and she's going to be taking over our ticket sales. So it's just a small world how that works, but I'd say that's where my kind of love for going to games comes from. I mean, I always enjoyed going to like minor league games for like baseball, but Charleston was the first place that I lived that there was a facility that was right there that I could go to whenever I wanted. And I loved it.
You're referring to Samantha Davis, who is part of the new crew, the new influx of talent, if you will, of new hirees as we again forge towards our new arena and forge towards building out a staff and what I think is going to be just an awesome product. And it's going to be built up and the foundation is going to be the staff that's being created right now. And you're part of it. So it's awesome again to have you on as we're talking to Kendra Hodgden, who was hired it's been over a month, but you're now in the office for 3 weeks running the marketing department. I know fans want to ask, because everybody asks, what are we doing promotions wise? What are we doing specialty jersey wise? Like, what are the cool things that are going to be going on in the new arena? And I don't want to ask you to give up any secret information, but give us an idea, some of your thought molding and shaping some of the promotional schedules and what you hope to implement with the team moving into its brand new building next year.
You're definitely going to see a new look, a new feel of the actual team. It's not just going to be the facility. You're going to see us maybe having a little more attitude on social media. Maybe trying to start some small fires here and there before they come and play us, which will be interesting. Definitely going to be doing some fun new merch for people to buy. And if COVID allows, hopefully we can get a little more into the community with the players again. And, you know, who knows what next season has in tail. I mean, I might know, but I don't know if I'm sharing yet. So
yeah, we don't want to divulge all the fun stuff on tap, but I did notice, and you mentioned maybe starting a few small fires. It's apropos because I did notice a tweet coming from the account towards the newest member of the Pacific Division next year, and that's the Coachella Valley Firebirds. I'm still trying to get, I feel like it's a big mouthful, but I thought the logo was really cool. I thought the reveal was cool, but you know, it's some gamesmanship, some jousting between two franchises that will become rivals next year.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the interactions from everyone in the AHL towards the Firebirds on Twitter, when they announced, I recommend looking because it was actually quite hilarious. There was a lot of memes. Stockton, he was like, you literally took our mascot, which just may or may not kind of be true, you know, each their own on their opinions on that. But yeah, that's just the beginning. And I hope our fans can kind of jump in on the fun there and retweet us and, you know, tweet too that they're in our corner and, you know, we're going to win and anything that's tasteful. Really?
Yeah, of course, right? You play within the lines. I did notice that tweet from Stockton. I thought it was pretty creative. They basically took every logo in the division.
Yeah.
They were saying that the Firebirds are a mashup of every logo in the division. I think there's some truth to it. You've got birds in our division. You've got flames in our division. What else do we got? We've got the Roadrunners in Tucson. So you've got the desert vibe. I mean, it is kind of a mashup of everybody in the division, but yeah. I'm excited for a new club to join the fold next year. It should be fun. We got Abbotsford this year. I want to talk quickly before I let you go. I want to talk a little bit about just kind of the mentality of the Barracuda and what can be built now that the team is going to go into its own building. There's been a connection with the Sharks, as you would expect, and a great one in a marriage, but there's going to be kind of an identity rebuild for the team as well. And we talk about minor league sports. It's different than major league sports because I think you can do much more. It's more lighthearted. It's not as much dependent on the result on the field or on the ice. Now you want to win, of course, but it's about family, fun, entertainment. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of the philosophy you feel like for the team moving forward through this year and then going into next year? This is really going to be something that families are going to leave this experience and be like, wow, that was so fun. And not only was it fun, but it was affordable.
Yeah, no, definitely. We're able to do a lot more in the AHL than the Sharks can do. And having a team that knows that they can have that fun and do those things that the Sharks can't is going to be really beneficial for anyone who wants to come to one of our games. They're going to have a different experience. They're going to get to have a lot more fun in some ways, and they're going to see a little more personality maybe than they would see otherwise. So we'll see what specials we're able to do. But I think throughout the year, we're going to be adding a little bit more here and there, just kind of getting ready for next year. So if you go to the games this year, it's almost going to be like a taste tester throughout until the big reveal. Of course, there's still going to be the shock value and the big reveal when it does happen, but you're gonna definitely see a difference in the way the Barracuda are supported. And, you know, I'm just so excited that our players are finally going to have a team that's just for them. So
totally. And to be able to have that identity, I've already noticed that though, there is kind of a ascension right now of promotional items. I think it's been already talked about when Eric addressed some of the season ticket holders, Eric Grundfast, who runs our business operations. Second half of the year, we'll see a couple specialty jerseys. We've got some early start games for Kids Day.
There's more things on tap. Of course, throughout the year, we just announced we'll have $3 beers every Saturday and one of our hot dogs on Fridays. We've got some ticket packages too on tap. So I think as the season continues along, it'll ramp up and that'll only be a precursor to next year and things on tap. Awesome stuff, Kendra. We can't thank you enough. It was nice to hear a little bit about your background. I know fans are excited to run into you in the concourse and to see what you have in store. And as you start to build out your team as well. But I know I can personally say really happy to have you, excited to have you join the mix. And I think we've got a great team that we're building and you're right at the forefront. So thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And I definitely encourage any fans to come up and ask me any questions. Because I am from a little bit of all over. I lived in Maryland, South Carolina, Kansas. Now I'm here. So anyone connects with that, we can chit chat and have some fun, and I'm happy to do that. So
I'm sure they're out there. When you touch different regions of the country, you know, you could have connections with folks from all over. Kendra, thank you again for the time. Really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll probably get you on again at some point. Maybe towards the latter half of the year. But thank you again for the time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.